to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to LATalkRadio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Backdoor Smoking Break Guy.
Mr. Backdoor Smoking Break Guy.
When there's lots of hard work to be done, where can you be found? Out back by the loading dock near the dumpster, giving your lazy butt another butt break.
Welcome to Marlboro Country.
That's right, Mr. Backdoor Smoking Break Guy. Smoke 'em if you got 'em, and you've always got 'em, and you're always smoking 'em.
Hey, boss, I'll be right back.
Snow, rain, freezing cold, or sweltering hot, it doesn't matter to you. You're out there every 10 minutes taking a 9-minute break.
When do you get any work done?
The next time you're at the service counter, unable to get any service because no one's at the counter, walk around back, flick your lighter, and raise it in salute to Mr. Backdoor Smoking Break Guy, a real American hero.
Mr. Backdoor Smoking Break Guy.
Hey, dude, can I bum one? Cool, I mean Winston.
Get ready for the best morning show on any kind of radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for Sam and Kara in the morning. Give Sam and Kara a call at 323-203-0815. And now, here are your hosts, Sam and Kara.
Good morning and welcome to Wednesday. It's October 6th. Another rainy day in Southern California, and we love it. Do you like the rain?
I think I would love the rain if I had a man friend here.
Oh, I see. So you can cuddle and...
Yeah, you know, go like snuggle with fire and like food. Like okay, this is what I like. I like to come home to a gorgeous house in the hills with rain crashing on the roof and a raging fire and like a bear-skinned rug and then like a big, beefy, awesome man that I love on the inside and outside too. Like that great duo. And then like food's just kind of all around on the sides, you know?
Right. And then sounds good. That's a good dream.
And then the song, boom, 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 watching every motion in this foolish love. You know that song?
No.
Take my breath away.
I don't know why I don't know that song.
You know that song by Berlin?
Yeah, Take My Breath Away.
Yeah, that song would go on.
Oh, okay. It didn't sound like it.
Yeah,
sorry.
It did. Anyway, so he's just ready for a pizza.
That's a cool dream. I mean,
well, I was just embellishing the fact you're like, are you happy that it's raining? And I'm like, well, yeah, but I would be happier if.
Happier, okay.
Because I think rain makes you want to kind of hide away and be in your.
Right.
Be in
it
your,
creates like a little bubble around you.
Yeah, you kind of need to get protection from the rain.
Right. Yeah. Well, I love rain, you know.
Yeah, so and you have a loved one, so that's good.
Yeah. But the amazing thing is we had 114 degrees here last week, and now it's freezing.
It's not freezing, but yeah, it was cold last
night. It is cold. Last night was cold, yeah.
Yeah. It was cold last night, and then it was rainy. But that's good. You know, thank God for the rain. Our earth needs it. This place needs it.
We could use it, huh?
Yeah, the rain is needed.
Yeah.
I think it rained pretty hard, huh?
Actually, last night, I think like around 7, 8 o'clock, it did pour a little bit.
Yeah, which is good.
I was in Northridge, and...
Where
yeah,
you in
it
Northridge?
Was pouring. With my kids.
Oh, it's where your kids live. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
well, they don't live in Northridge, but nearby. So we drove to a restaurant and stuff, and it was pouring outside.
What'd y'all eat?
What'd we have? We went to Wood Ranch. Have you been to Wood Ranch?
Oh, Wood Ranch. I like it. They
yeah.
have a really good steak tri-tip salad.
Right.
With blue cheese
ribs.
Crumbles.
Yeah.
What'd you get?
What'd I get? Steak.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's good.
Then I went home and I had the runs. You know, I
Did
gotta
you really?
Stop eating out, man. It happens to me all
Are
the time.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I don't know what they put in the fucking food, man. Why? What's there to be ashamed of?
No, I know. It's just funny because you're really weird about
you,
that. So.
You tell us
grosser
things.
I know.
Things.
I know. I do. You're like, I had a great steak and then I had some great runs. That's so gross.
Cool. Yeah, to top it off, right?
So that's happening a lot to you lately when you go out to eat?
Not lately, but I mean, it has happened. Yeah, it has happened quite a bit where I try to stay away from certain restaurants.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that I'm going to go there again.
Oh.
They must have put something in the food.
I got really bad food poisoning a while back from Chipotle. I still go back there.
Really?
I love that place.
Is it good? I've never been.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they've got good burritos, but I like the salads, and the meat's just really good.
Mm-hmm. Have you tried Poquito Mas?
No.
That's pretty good, too.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know how it compares to Chipotle, but
probably
it's pretty
not.
Good.
Poquito probably Mas not. Means just a little bit more, so probably nothing more than Chipotle.
No, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So did you see the email I sent you?
Yeah, so we have an adoring fan, very, very sweet. She says, Sam,
yeah.
You guys are the
it's
most perfect.
It's a he.
Radio.
We got a shout out to Oscar in Wyoming.
Oh, yeah. I thought this was...
Our biggest fan.
Oh, Oscar, thank you so much. Well, listen, here's the deal. I mean, Sam's got to go through his process. I got to figure out what I'm doing with life. So it's kind of like an insurance plan. Got to keep auditioning people.
Okay, but you got to explain what you're talking about.
Everybody knows, right?
No, I mean, but they don't know what you're talking about now because you didn't associate the email with what you're talking about.
Oh, okay. We had a great email from somebody. It was like, tell her not to leave. She's the best duo. You guys are the greatest duo. You're my entertainment. Your biggest fan. And that stuff just makes me feel so great.
It does. I told him. I said, thank you for taking the time.
That's
you know?
So sweet.
It's
Oscar,
so cool
you're
when,
loved.
When fans write into us, you know.
That's so sweet.
Yeah. So he happens to like you, you know, one of a few maybe.
Well, at least...
Or maybe one of many. Who knows?
One of a few. So, yeah, we're going to just keep the process going, but...
But what?
Well,
you're changing your mind? I'm going to kick your ass.
It's not that I'm changing my mind. I need other things to change for me to be here.
I see.
And if those
okay.
things change, then I can be here. And I'm working on those things, which are just like income, things like that.
Oh,
so
okay.
It's kind of
so
like...
So there's a chance you'll stay?
Yeah. But
wow.
I don't want to get people's hopes up. We should keep the process going just in case.
Yeah, we'll keep the process going, except we were double flaked out this
What's
morning.
What's that about, man?
I don't know. We had two women scheduled to come in, and neither one showed up. And no messages, no nothing, no phone calls. And that's L.A. for you. It's not the first time, so I'm not pissed. I used to be very pissed about it.
No, you can't.
Because people ruin your fucking show, you know? And not to mention, they get a fucking shot at being on the radio, and they just throw it away.
It's really funny.
You know? And then they come up with fucking excuses that I don't care to hear.
It's really funny, though.
Why is it funny?
Because you're like, I don't get angry, but they fucking this and they
yeah,
fucking that. And then
exactly.
It's like, I don't get angry anymore, but they come up with these fucking excuses. Oh, my gosh. Can we talk about the interview yesterday or no?
Nah.
Okay,
nah,
never mind.
We don't want to talk about
okay,
people behind
okay,
their backs.
Okay, you're right. I got a bad problem with that. Sorry.
Yeah. So, I mean, so what are the plans? I mean, you're like debating here. You already gave us notice that you're leaving.
It's more of a trying to figure it out with the money situation.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got a few things I'm working on.
I just think I know why you wouldn't go back. Because you know if you go back, you're going to end up getting married, having kids, and not doing what you want to do. You know that's what's going to happen because you're going back home, quote unquote.
I'm not going back to Houston.
Yeah, I know, but it's still. You know, it's still, you're going back to be with your boyfriend.
No, he's in Houston.
So?
And I just told you that. You and me, mm-hmm. you and I and this whole listening audience has discussed my relationship more with him than he and I have in the last 2 days. I've explained to you guys, I'm a little bummed because it's like he doesn't want me in L.A., he doesn't want me in Austin, and if I'm in Houston, he doesn't want me to do the road.
Yeah.
He hasn't said it that way, but that's what's kind of coming out. And
right.
I'm like, oh, I'm glad you're telling me now.
Right.
Because he wants a more traditional relationship, and I'm like, well, people have these kinds of relationships all the time out here, where people leave, come. I have so many friends that go back to Canada, come back here, go to Australia, wherever they're from, they go back, they come back. It's like a continual thing, you know?
Yeah, but I don't blame him. I mean, he doesn't know where he stands with you.
He knows I love him.
Yeah, but?
I mean, but what? What else is there?
But the thing is, he wants to settle down, and you don't.
Well, you know, I mean, what does that mean? Like...
It means that he wants a family, probably. You know, I mean, he's staying where he is.
Here's the thing. We all want a lot of things in life, okay?
Right. That's true.
I want a lot of things right now. I want tons of things right now, okay?
Right.
But the reality is when you fall in love with somebody, you take the good and the bad. And you kind of look at what's negotiable, what's not negotiable.
Mm-hmm.
He and I have not dated since about 5 years ago.
Mm.
Okay?
Right.
In that 5 years, he has... date other people, and so have I. He's not met somebody else in that 5 years that he's wanted to settle down, and he's dated those kind of girls. He's dated those kind of like sweet, kind of like, you know.
I'd like you, right?
He's dated those kind of girls that are like, you know, really sweet, really good to him.
Uh-huh.
You know, but he doesn't want that. He wants a crazy girl named Kara.
Uh-huh.
Who keeps his world crazy.
There you
and
go.
And pisses him off, but it's worth it. And if he doesn't, and you know what? I'm telling him what he wants right now. So, you know, he needs to figure that out. And if that's not, if he can't handle it, then fine.
But you see, that's the thing. You're not going there wholeheartedly. And
well, I'm not going there for the relationship. I told him that. He's like, I thought you were coming back here to start a relationship. I said, well, I mean, we're going to continue a relationship and build on it, but that's, I'm coming back to get on my feet.
Mm-hmm. Right.
This is temporary.
Mm.
You know, I'm either going to be on the road or I'll end up moving back for a while and, you know, we'll work something out.
Right.
He doesn't like any of that.
Yeah. So how are you going to end up being on the road? I mean, where are you going to get the gigs that you don't get now?
Well, I haven't tried to get them now. This is through booking agents and things like that.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I already have stuff kind of in the works. So.
So you don't want to travel when you're here, but
no,
you're
I would like to do it here too.
So you're starting that in motion as well.
Yeah, I'm starting that process. Okay. But I mean, that doesn't matter where you live.
Right.
But that stuff is like, you know, you're on the road and it would cut into radio time anyway. So if I was here and I was doing the road, it depends on if I did like 2 weeks, if I did a month, if I did a week.
I see. Okay.
I'd still be missing shows.
Right.
You know what I mean? But I don't. That ball hasn't. Totally. I mean, I've got some of the stuff in the works, but, you know, like there's the college market, there's the corporate market, there's the club market. There's all these different things that I've got out there.
Right,
so
it's
going to take a while for that stuff to kick in, but, you know, that's the idea.
So do you need an agent for that?
It's better to have an agent, which I'm doing.
Good.
Booking agents.
Good
and then,
for you.
Yeah. But no, my point is, you know, I mean, it's something that, you know, I wanted to do and I thought, well, I can go be and live in a city that's more manageable.
Mm.
That I can like kind of do the basics a lot easier. Like
I
here, it's just, I mean, so much opposition doing the littlest damn thing. It's opposition, 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 and you start to kind of lose the fight, you know, just to go to the freaking bank or.
Yeah,
to
but
go.
You should have known that, you know. I mean, to go into entertainment.
I mean,
it's gonna
you
be
know,
that
Sam,
kind of
you
a
haven't
life.
Walked this walk, so you have no idea. Like you've.
No,
looked,
I know, but you've
it's
decided
just like,
to
no,
do entertainment.
No, I know that,
you know?
But I'm just saying, like, it's. People leave all the time and come back. Like, it's not that big of a deal.
I see.
Like,
you
know, just because you take a break doesn't mean you're taking a break from your craft. It doesn't mean you're giving up on your career or your dreams. Mm-hmm. It just means, you know what, I'm taking a break from the industry or this particular city, and you're going to come back. And people do it all the time. I've been here straight for 9 years. I mean, I think I'm kind of I need some road work. I need something. So it's just, it's all about to fall on top of me like a big-ass house.
Mm.
So it's a very different way to live. It's very it's very hard for people to identify with it if you haven't been in the industry. You don't live out here. You're not going after it totally. And I know a lot of people that do relate because they're friends or they're doing it or they've done it and they've already made it or things like that. And I know a lot of people that it's not abnormal. This conversation happens with a lot of people out here. Mm. But when you're talking to people that are like normals that live in normal places, it's very hard for them to understand, you know, the lifestyle, the risk involved. You know, and the endurance and the perseverance involved. It's the most competitive industry probably in the world and the most unpredictable industry. So, you know, it takes a lot of faith. It takes a lot of determination. And, you know, sometimes you do get wore out.
It does. I mean, you need a thick skin, you know, to handle all the rejection.
Mm-hmm. And just the waiting game and keep yourself afloat and keep yourself pumped up. I mean, you know, I mean, people that have, you know, it's not any better or worse. I'm just saying the difference is that people that work a predictable job or they have something that they a steady paycheck or whatever. I mean, they may not be happy or they may be happy, but they're not, you know, having to keep themselves constantly pumped about, oh, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it's kind of a workout all the time being out here, just doing little stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just times when I'm like, man, I'd love to go live in a normal place.
Uh-huh.
It'd be so nice.
But you can live a normal life here too, Kara. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Sam, I'm just saying,
you chose an industry that's very difficult.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying, like, I'm not giving up, but taking a break is what I'm saying. And
no,
I've
I know,
it,
but
I've
if you go back.
I've done it for 9 years. I'm not going back. And first of all, I may be staying here. Who knows? Good old Oscar might have just tipped it over. Oscar Wyoming. So sweet of him to say that. That was so sweet.
Yeah, that's cool.
Who
well, we give a shout
knows?
Out to Oscar in Wyoming.
We have another listener up there who We have another listener up there. That's a girl that listens a lot. And
in Wyoming, really?
I thought she's in Wyoming. That's why I thought it was her. I think her name's Sarah. I can't remember, but she's in my inbox.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, guys, keep writing in because it really makes it all worthwhile, you know? Because, I mean, we've got thousands of listeners out there, but we don't know them. We don't know that they exist, you know? And we sit here and we talk to each other and it feels like nobody's listening. But there are literally tens of thousands out there, you know? And it makes you feel really good when they let you know that they listen and they like it. Now, this sounds familiar.
You know the song?
Yeah.
It's good elevator music for what we were singing.
Isn't that like a theme for a show or something?
No, it's Kenny G.
Oh, yeah, that's right. With his sax, with his flute.
His sax. He's saxing it up.
Yeah, but he plays a flute too.
Does he?
Yeah, that part is with a flute.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, listen to it.
No, look it up, dude. It says he's sax. That's what he does. He's a saxophonist.
Right. Okay, whatever. I don't remember it, but
yeah, okay.
Maybe it is.
I won again. So what?
You won again.
It's a joke. So who would be a celebrity that you'd be like so excited to meet, or a movie star, or somebody that, or it could be an athlete, somebody that does something that you would like. If you met them, you'd be nervous. You're like excited. Who would make you really, really nervous?
Well, I actually met him once, and
who?
It's Barry Gibb from the Bee Gees.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because to me, he's an incredible musician. He's written so many songs for other musicians as well, for other singers. And I don't know, I just admire him as a genius to me. And actually, I met him once when we went to a concert here, like 20, 25 years ago.
Really?
The Bee Gees were here, and we got a backstage pass. And it was like, you know, I almost creamed my pants.
Ugh,
man,
don't say that.
It was an incredible thing.
So,
and you know what?
You
we took pictures. I can't even find them anymore.
Really?
Yeah. That sucks. So, yeah. So that's who I would be, you know, that's who I admire, you know, a great musician. Now, obviously, you want to tell me who yours would be. So let's.
Well, there's several, but I mean, some people I don't get really star-studded, but it's a certain kind of, you know, like I would definitely say Jim Carrey.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's funny. I know somebody that knows somebody that met them, and you know, I was so jealous just through that, like, long, extensive, I know somebody knows somebody that met him. And I was just, like, so secretly jealous in my fantasy, like, no, I should have been able to meet him. But anyway, he's just so charismatic and talented, and I just think it would be just, like, I think he and I would have a really good time.
You think so, huh?
I think that he and I would really click.
How do you figure Jim Carrey is charismatic? I don't see that.
Are you kidding me? What rock have you been living under? Jim Carrey?
Mm-hmm.
Charismatic. He's like this. He goes to present an award, an award show, and he's got standing ovations. People are laughing. He usually comes out in a character or does something. He has such stage presence. He commands that kind of. He makes people laugh. He's just such a goofball, and he's, you know, I don't know. I just think he's nuts, and I love it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Why did you think of that now?
Because I was thinking about the story I heard of a friend of a friend that got to meet him and how jealous I got. And I was like,
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then I was like, well, I wonder who Sam would feel that way about.
Oh, I see. Okay. So Jim Carrey, huh?
Yeah.
Wow, that's interesting.
Maybe it'll happen.
He hasn't been funny lately, though. You know?
No,
his movies bomb.
What movies have bombed?
We started watching The Yes Man.
Uh-huh.
Turned it off 10 minutes later.
Oh, man. Really?
Yeah, it was terrible.
Well, you know what? He's that good that he can at least, you know, he can have a bunch of movies bomb, and that's what we're talking about. He's that good.
I see.
You see my point? Like,
I see your point. I mean, you know, I used to think he's funny. I never associated him with
charisma. I think it's not just his work. It's who he is. I mean, he's just somebody that can create a certain kind of energy and humor and have an effect on people, and that is so magnetic and interesting to me.
Yeah, I mean, he's a genius in his own way.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
With comedy and, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's just, and he's, everybody's going to have highs and lows in their careers, you know. They're going to have their breakout time. They're going to have their, you know, golden years. They're going to have their, you know, taking a hiatus but doing, you know, experimental years, you know. So, I mean, whatever.
Yeah.
But I think he's really, really talented. I mean, everybody thinks he's talented. That's not even a debate.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And he is funny. You know, for the most part, he's funny. And the faces that he makes and the voices and the characters are pretty funny, I have to admit. You know?
But it's just like an uninhibited kind of funny. It's like a really all out there, like you threw an egg and it like hit the wall and smeared down. Like he's just like, and I love that. It's like uninhibited. Yeah, it's very free. Yeah. It's very free. And he's got kind of a cool story. I don't know all of his story, but basically like how he just kind of grew up a little on the rough side and not a lot of money. And then, you know, wrote himself a check for $1 million. And, you know, it was like kind of a promise to himself to make it.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Maybe you should do that, Kira.
Okay. I don't even have checks, so... I can't borrow a check. I can't borrow a check, Sam.
Oh, there you go.
I'll write it out to me for...
$1 million.
I'm here for $1 million.
Yeah.
Take you to the cleaners.
$1 million bed bugs. That's what you'd get.
$1 million bed bugs.
Have you heard of the bed bugs in New York now?
No.
Yeah, they talk about it all the time.
What happened?
I don't know. There's just too many of them there, I guess. They're starting to hit. You know, and they... you know, you get up in the morning and there's blood on the sheets, you know, when they bite you.
Oh, that's gross. You know, it's funny because I know some friends that live in New York and they had said something about moving into places and making sure that there weren't bed bugs or things like that. And I thought that's a weird thing to, you know, to look for.
I know, but apparently they've got like an epidemic there now. So, yeah.
What if everybody just got rid of their bed? Would the bed bugs go away?
They call them bed bugs, but I think they're everywhere. You know, they need cloth. So I'm sure they get on your... on your luggage when you travel, on your clothes. And that's how people move them around and transfer them from one point
to
the
other.
Well,
stay in New York, people with bed bugs.
Yeah, there you go.
Quarantine yourself and then come.
But apparently they originate in South America or something, you know, Central America.
Really?
So that's where people bring them from, yeah.
Well, it's one of those things. I've always wondered that, too, like with STDs and how it's all contracted, you know, unprotected sex. But I'm always like, well, like, who had it first? Like, how did it develop? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because now it's like if somebody gets an STD, it's like, well, they had sex with so-and-so.
Right.
Unprotected.
Yes.
And that's how they got it.
But, so you're wondering where patient zero came from. How did it start?
Yeah, like, what? How does it like, you know, happen?
I don't know. Screwing a monkey or something? That used to be the urban legend. That's how AIDS started.
It's probably not good to be having sex with animals.
Yeah.
I met a very peculiar man at a Starbucks. That's usually how it always happens for me. It's always at some kind of random coffee shop or Starbucks, something like that. Uh-huh. He's actually a really nice guy, but I have this, like, they call me the friend whisperer. Uh-huh. Because I just have this gift where people just open up to me right away, you know? And I think it's great. I love people. I love hearing people's stories. I love connecting and et cetera, et cetera. This guy's talking about how he's never had a cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
He has a home phone. He said, I just went to high-speed internet from dial-up, like, 3 days ago.
Really?
And he's like not on Facebook, you know, very, very, very in the dark ages. But he said now that he goes, I want to get my money's worth. He was making a joke, but it was kind of morbid. He was talking about all the stuff he wants to see on YouTube and porn sites he wants to go to and just stuff. He goes, not because I like it. He goes, but I'm curious about all these things.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to get my money's worth for this high speed.
For the broadband.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, you're weirdo. And he's talking about, you know, some things like bestiality and stuff. And I was like, really? Like, why would you ever, ever want those images in your head?
Right.
It's like, it's just more of just, you know, the curiosity factor. And I thought, like, it's just so weird that stuff goes on, you know, and people watch it and then people do it. And it's just,
yeah.
I mean, there's so many things in that nature or in that kind of, you know, behind closed doors kind of thing that happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even as we talk right now,
right.
That's happening somewhere. It's just so wrong and weird, and I'm like, what good comes out of it? That's what I asked him. I'm like, well, watching these things, I understand you're human, you're curious, I get it, but like not using any kind of even self-discipline in those areas, I'm like, what's the outcome? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you sit there and watch that stuff all day long.
Well, maybe not all day long.
Okay, or let's say it's part of your daily routine.
Right.
Like, what good comes out of it?
Yeah, that could screw up your mind, I would think.
Yeah,
right?
And my friend who studies psychology, she said that the worst thing that has an effect on someone's brain is sex and violence when the two are mixed.
Uh-huh.
That it psychologically changes people's brain patterns. And it creates aggression and violence and things like that. And neurologically.
Porn and violence?
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, it has the biggest effect on someone's brain as far as, like, you know.
Okay.
Isn't that interesting?
I suppose,
I mean,
it
kind of makes
yeah.
sense to me, but I mean, the fact that, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, just another day in L.A.
Bestiality.
Ugh.
Yeah, no, I don't see the appeal in that at all. But, I mean, people are into everything. You know? It's just amazing. It amazes me. But, Yeah, but that stuff is illegal, and people, you know, just trade that stuff illegally online.
Oh, bestiality?
Bestiality, you know, child porn, things like that. Oh, yeah. Anything that that requires consent and, you know, like a small child can't give consent. An animal can't give consent. If a woman gets raped, there's no consent. That's why all these things are illegal.
Yeah.
You know, you got to be able to consent to sex.
Yeah.
And
what is I mean, how are people not? I actually knew a guy that he went into some kind of forensic kind of computer work where he does catch the people that put up the child pornography.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
I'm like, how is that not like so easy to catch these people? Like if I've never Googled it, I would never even Google it just because I wouldn't even want the feds to think I was, you know, looking at
yeah.
it at all. I was like, I just wanted to know how easy it was to find it. But I know a girl who she responded to an ad on Craigslist mm-hmm. for like customer service position online.
Yeah.
And it was for child pornography.
Really?
She like left immediately, called the police and everything.
Wow.
But it's just funny how like it's not funny, but I'm like, why are the I just don't understand the business of the internet and how the rules and regulations work, mm-hmm. but how difficult it is to capture or find these people. I guess they can kind of reroute their site, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, they have IP addresses and stuff. They know where you're from. But today, there's so many different ways to stay anonymous that it's very hard. That's why these investigations, I think, take years until they find, like, a group of people, you know, like a... you know, like a bunch of people trading this stuff, mm. you know. So they have to start somewhere, but I have no idea how they find them.
Mm. Yeah, I think it's just so sad, you know.
Yeah. But you see, the internet doesn't have a lot of rules and regulations because it doesn't belong to any country. So, you know, but you know, when you talk about child porn and things like that, that's like universal laws.
Yeah.
You know, almost every country has the laws against it. So that's why... they can do that. But, you know, with other things like things that are, I don't know, like gambling, for example, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the U.S. Says, you know, that you can't have a gambling site legally.
Oh, really?
So people go overseas and do it, you know?
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, that's why, you know, people say, well, the government will regulate the internet. They can't, you know. What about all the rest of the world?
Mm.
They can't be regulated by the United States.
Mm.
We don't have any authority over them.
I know. It's something like the jurisdiction of if you're viewing it in somewhere versus it's being...
where it's originating.
Like, is it illegal to view it or is it illegal to operate it?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't
know what the hell's going
That's
on
It's crazy.
There. But a lot of things are going on on the internet, you know. And it's really weird to read, like, books that were written, like, you know, 15 years ago before the internet. And it's funny how things were being done, you know. I mean, it's, you know, I mean, today we take it for granted that things, like, happen instantly, you know. But before that, we had to write letters and wait for them to arrive. And phone calls were expensive. And, you know, I mean, it just changed everything, you know, so profoundly that a lot of industries have ceased to exist. You know, and, you know, just like the bookstores. Did I tell you they're closing a couple of bookstores here?
No.
A couple of Barnes & Noble.
Really? Barnes
yeah, &
Noble?
Yeah. They're closing them. One in Calabasas, the other one in Encino. And it's the beginning of the end for that, you know. And it's so depressing because I love going to bookstores, you know. But then again, you know, I contributed to it too because I end up buying them on Amazon for half the price.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. So, you know, I mean...
are they half the price?
Yeah, just about, you know, like 40% off or something. So, like, I just got a new book that costs $36 retail, and I got it for $20.
What book is it?
The Ken Follett new book, Fall of Giants. It's a 1,000-page book.
You're nuts.
Have you ever heard of Ken Follett?
Uh-uh.
He's, like, a very famous writer. He's written a lot of books. Yeah. Did you hear, I mean, they just had a miniseries called Pillars of the Earth.
Oh, I've heard
Have you heard that
yeah,
one?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the books he wrote, and that was a big book also.
But, oh, really?
But, yeah, he's written so many books, and I love him. So I committed to the book. It's about the period of World War I, which doesn't really appeal to me that much. But he develops characters so well that you just fall in love with those characters, and you really care for them. And that's why I like to read it. But at any rate, $36 retail. You know, so let's say you go to Barnes & Noble and it's if it's a bestseller, they'll give you 30% off, which is cool. But you go to Amazon and it's 40% off and no tax, and it gets to your house right away.
No tax?
No tax.
How do they no tax it?
Because if a company is not in the same state you're buying from, they don't have to pay tax on it.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So that's why if you buy something online, they're not in California, you don't have to pay tax. But if they are in California, you do. That's how it works on the internet. And, you know, so this is the beginning, you know, and then all books are going to turn into Kindle and all these readers and shit. And there's not going to be any books left. What am I going to do, Kara?
You're going to have
books. In my lifetime, printed books are going to disappear.
I don't think they're going to disappear.
I think so.
No, because you always need hardcore. You need the hardback. You need the physical evidence of that written word.
Not necessarily. Not necessarily. I mean, look at CDs. You know, although it's a little different, because a CD you can duplicate and it's the same. You know, I mean, you hear it from the same media. But that's why CD stores have closed down. Because why do you need a CD? In other words, why do you need something physical to transfer the music from one place to the other? You can just download it, you know, and then all the production costs are not even there, you know, and it's the same with books too and newspapers and all that stuff. Think about it. Newspapers have to go through so much just to get the paper to you, whereas on the internet, you just go on to CNN or LATimes.com, whatever, and you can read it all there, you know, and you don't have to pay for it either. So, you know, that's the way the internet is going. Whether it makes sense or not, that's another thing. But we're losing a lot of the lifestyle that we're used to, you know.
Because of technology.
And, yeah, and I'm all for progress and technology and, you know, but, you know, when it starts hitting you at home, then you realize, you know, wow, really
send them a mean letter.
Everything. To whom?
The book stealers.
To the powers that be.
The book stealers.
Yeah.
Say, so quit jacking my books.
Yeah.
Yeah, just send them a damn letter. Yeah. That'll go somewhere.
Yeah.
Write your
Well, they just said, I just viewed an interview with Stephen King, and they asked him about books, and he says, books are not going away, but they're not going to be in the same form as they are today, which is exactly what I'm telling you. You know, they're going to be all on Kindle and... What's the other one? Nook, I think.
Nook. They tried to get me to buy a Nook. I was like,
really?
That's just happening right now.
Barnes & Noble?
Yeah, and I was like, one, I don't read that much, but two, I don't have the money. But second of all, no, they said the Nook carries way, way, way more books as far as they have more downloadable books than the Kindle.
Really?
Yeah, there's like...
That's hard to believe.
Oh, yeah, it's like a bunch more, like hundreds of thousands. Whereas I think the Kindle has like 30 or 60,000 books, something like that.
I don't know. 60. I don't know how many have. I can't imagine that they'd have more than Amazon.
Well, the Nook is Barnes & Noble's version.
Right,
so
right.
It's kind of like...
But I think Amazon is bigger, I think.
Really?
Yeah. I really do. I mean, they're destroying those bookstores, even the big chains.
Amazon is?
Yeah. You know, because, I mean, you can find books there that brick-and-mortar stores simply cannot stock all of them.
Mm. Yeah. Well, that's true, and there's a lot of stuff that just out of print, you can still get it on.
Exactly.
You can get it on Amazon.
And it's so easy, you know, and you get it at your house, at your door in a couple of days. So, yeah, I've contributed to it, to their demise, but what are you going to do? You know, you vote with your pocketbook.
You vote with your pocketbook. Well, you know, maybe you need to think about that.
I do. But that's why, you know, I've been aware of this, and actually I made an effort to buy some things at bookstores to help them stay alive, but I'm not enough. You need a lot more people. Yeah.
Look at that, Sam.
Yeah, I'm bummed out.
You've got to love that way of life or that way of reading more than you love saving money.
Yeah.
And if you don't, then you got
to it's the same thing. It's just it's hard to justify spending twice as much money when you don't have to. That's it.
Well, I still go there and read the Us Weeklies.
Yeah. Well, you can go to a newsstand for that. You don't have to go to a bookstore for
that. But it's comfy cozy.
Yeah, that's true.
It's comfy cozy. Today's a good go to a bookstore kind of day.
There you go.
Maybe that's what
I'm going to
do.
Today's a good day. Sit down, drink a Starbucks, read
something. Talk to some creepy guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm telling you, my little Starbucks that I found, I'm seeing way more celebrities every day.
Oh, yeah?
Yep. Yesterday I saw a star from the TV show Heroes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you watch it.
No, never watched it.
Super hot.
Really? So where is it? In Hollywood, the Starbucks?
No, it's actually kind of in between Hollywood and the Valley on your way over the 101.
Oh, I see.
Near Universal Studios.
Ah.
It's just an interesting cross-section because, you know, you see some of those stars, but then you also see, like, some crazy, like, I'm probably in a band. And then you also see this, I'm probably in porn. Mm-hmm. You know, all that kind of intersection of people.
Right.
You know?
But how did you find that particular Starbucks? I mean,
it's just
on
my way. That's on my way. So I stopped there once, and it's kind of a little bit not as crowded. So I was like, oh, this is cool. So I started going there. I like it.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Talking to you on the phone about, oh no, people have been, you know, people call me about if they've got the position with, you know, my position.
Really? They call you?
Well, one girl I gave my number to, she called me, and then some people have emailed me. Nothing, it's not like a big deal or anything,
right.
but. It's funny. So
why do they come to you?
Well, they just want to know if I know anything,
right.
Or if
well, they can ask me.
Yeah. Anyway, so I'm on the phone with them and I'm talking to the Starbucks. Like, yeah, he's you know, the casting for this is that, you know, replacing me on the show, this co-host.
Yeah,
so
it's not easy.
I sound like I'm some kind of bigwig. I got people going, oh, what do you do? I'm like, you know, drinking my coffee.
Yeah. So last night Facebook was down. Did you notice that?
I wasn't on it. What happened?
No. I tried to log in and or tried to even get to the site, and all you got was a blank page.
And that's enough to put us into some kind of like
crisis.
Orange alert or something.
Yeah, exactly. And
right?
That's, yeah. And I posted about it. I mean, I suddenly felt like a withdrawal. You know, I thought, wow, you know, I need to get out there and tell people and say things and connect.
Yeah. That's funny. How about real life? That's a good one, too.
Yeah.
It's funny because this guy that I met yesterday, the weird dude, he was like, yeah, you know, I said, oh, I'll Facebook you. Well, what's your Facebook? He's like, oh, I'm not on Facebook. He goes, yeah, everybody meets and they quickly go back to their computer because they just want to connect on Facebook rather than in person. And I thought, well, that wasn't what I was doing and I'm not that way. But I know what he's talking about is people feel safer to, like, investigate somebody through Facebook and photos as opposed to, like, really just connect.
Yeah, yeah.
I say next time you want to do that, go out to a coffee shop.
Yeah.
Or a bookstore. You'll meet people.
Yeah. Or if someone sends you, like, a headshot and you want to know what they really look like, go on Facebook.
You know? Yeah, you can do that, too. But, you know, just if you need the desire to, like, go out and talk to people and share things.
But, you see, I don't think it replaces real connection. Real world connection. It's an addition to it. You know? Yeah.
I think you're right and wrong. I agree.
You know, I mean, it's like at 10, 11 o'clock. Who the hell am I going to call?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I think you're right. I think that it's a supplemental community that's virtual and it does actually broaden the people that you can be in touch with. I mean, that's the interesting part.
Mm-hmm.
Which is also the weirder part, too, is you find yourself in touch with people that if you didn't have Facebook or that kind of technology, life is going to take you, or you're going to make decisions or whatever, and you're going to move through life into the path that you believe you should be on or by default or whatever.
Right.
You're moving in a different path.
Mm-hmm.
So the natural byproduct of that is that you're not going to have certain people in your life anymore due to geography,
mm-hmm.
And they're not there. And part of that makes sense because they're in a different path and you're on a different path and you're probably not supposed to be best friends or you're probably not supposed to be having this person necessarily give you advice on your path when your path is, it's like you guys are so, that's one way to kind of look at it.
Mm-hmm.
So then when you open up all those paths and even though you're not living on the same path anymore, you can connect.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite fascinating, but then it's also quite artificial.
Yeah.
And I've heard other people say this. They're like, yeah, I got on Facebook and I'm in connection. Oh, this dude I met. He's like, yeah, I got on Facebook. I'm in connection with all these people that I would have never stayed in contact anyway. And now all we do is, hey, what's up? Cool. Bye. You know, it's still nothing really
right
there.
But there's nothing wrong with having acquaintances, you know? I mean,
no,
in
but
addition
it's kind of like,
friends.
It's just kind of an interesting virtual community of people. Like, you're kind of getting to see people from a distance. Like, for me, going to my reunion was very underwhelming. I was really hoping that I was going to get to kind of connect with some people and chat. And I felt like the connection wasn't there.
Yeah.
It felt like it was very, and I thought it was going to be there, but it just wasn't.
Yeah, I kind of felt you'd be disappointed because I think these things never turn out the way you hope.
Well, it wasn't awful. I mean, and on the flip side of that, there were some people that I did get to see that it was really great to see.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't want to like negate that. There were some people that were really cool, really supportive. There's some people that are doing great. There's some people that are, it was wonderful to see them. But even with them, it's like, we're not going to really stay in touch that much because our lives are so different.
Right.
You know, unless I were to relocate or something.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was kind of a little underwhelming, but I don't know.
Well, yeah. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Maybe in 10 years it'll be better.
I don't know if I'm going to do it 10 years. I think this was it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You've had enough, huh?
Yeah, I don't know. I think you have to kind of have a bond with those people to kind of want to go, oh, I wonder what they're doing.
Yeah.
And I really wanted to see people, but I also wanted to perform.
Yeah.
You know?
You wanted the attention.
I wanted to perform.
Yeah.
The attention. Attention's a byproduct of it. Don't try to build
it. Is that the means or the end?
It's the byproduct. It's don't vilify the situation.
Uh-huh.
Everybody tries to take somebody like me that's kind of a natural ham and a performer,
uh-huh.
and they like to twist that shit and make it into like an egomaniac. Just cause,
really?
Well, I mean, sometimes people will pull that card on me, and I'm like, don't pull that because I'm not that way.
Mm.
I'm just really out there. But I've had friends and stuff when they've gotten mad at me, they're like, this isn't the Kara show or something. Like my aunt, when she gets mad at me, she'll say stuff like that. I'm like, you know, I'm not that person.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like a dig. You know?
Yeah.
Because
you can't deny you like attention, right?
Oh, yeah. But I'm not like, not too, I don't think too.
But you're not doing it for attention. That's
yeah.
what you're saying.
I mean, I think if you're going to be an entertainer, a certain kind of entertainer specifically, you should like attention. Mm-hmm. You need to not be afraid of it.
Right.
You know? It's really funny because I do know a comedian who does not like attention, but yet is a great comedian. I'm like,
really?
I think he's lying.
Yeah.
Like, you're such a
freaking
liar. It is.
I mean, if you didn't want, you know, if you were like
if you didn't like making people laugh and if you didn't like all that, then, you know.
Yeah, if you're an introvert, you're not going to be a comedian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No.
I'm like, you're not going to, you're trying to tell me you don't enjoy it. I'm like, you don't enjoy the attention.
Yeah, right.
Everybody going, woo!
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, most people love attention, I think.
Yeah.
And they do most things to get attention, for sure.
I do. I love attention, too.
Yeah.
I do. I love
it. It's normal, I think.
I think everybody loves. I know some people that are really nervous in front of crowds, though. That's different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I started noticing I really like, not that this is going to come as any shocker to you at all, but I was noticing I really like guy attention. Like, I've noticed that because I get a lot of it, you know, even when I'm like just schlepping around or something, I've just got a man magnet, you know, I'm not the hottest. I'm not the best.
So you crave it?
I think there's it's just like anything. You start to feed somebody sweets or something and they're going to start to like it.
Yeah.
You know, and I started noticing I've gotten a little bit like, I'm kind of comfortable with it and I've gotten a little bit like used to it and it's kind of a rush a bit, you know?
Yeah.
And then I'm like, well, I don't know if that's entirely good.
Why? It's fine.
I don't know.
It's fine. It's fine. You're a woman. I mean, it's natural to want to have attention from men.
Yeah, but then you got to think about when you decide to take yourself off the market and you're married.
And?
Is that appropriate? Like, if you're going to have a meaningful relationship with somebody, where does that play into it?
Like, to enjoy the attention?
Well, yeah, kind of like...
I mean, you obviously don't want to go around flirting, but... You know, if you get the attention, there's nothing wrong with that, I think.
Yeah.
You know, as long as you don't act on it. Because men want you to act on it every time.
Every time.
Yeah.
Men are different creatures, huh?
Yeah.
They're like
men
so different.
But so are women.
You know, like there's that time of the month for a woman where she gets, you know, way.
Oh, really? I never heard of that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Where she gets way more like sexually aroused, you know, or just like more, you know, craving sex, right?
Right.
In case y'all didn't get it, like, near your period. In case I didn't spell that out, like, women just want it way more near their period, or around their period, or
when they ovulating, or
something around that time. That time. Usually, that's what I find. I tend to find with friends. They'll tell me that.
Mm-hmm.
And during that time period, it is like, whoa, you know, it's like, I don't know, there's like a heat aura around you, and you're like, ooh. And I think it's very biological and very animalistic, and you're just like, you're like, ooh.
You're in heat.
And I think that, like, I was like, this is, it's quite inconvenient, an inconvenience. And let me say that one more time, inconvenience. Anyway, it's a, it's quite like a, it's almost like a foreign thing because it's kind of distracting. It's on your mind. And then you feel hot and bothered.
Right.
You know, it's, and yeah. it wasn't necessarily that you.
Just imagine feeling like
that's
that.
That's where
every
I was going
day.
With this. I'm like, is that what men are like
yeah,
every day?
Every day, all the
that
time.
That kind of sucks,
it
huh?
It does. It's difficult.
That sucks, right?
Yeah, because you can't get it all the time.
Well, you're married.
If at all. No, I'm not talking about me. I'm
you're
talking
saying as,
a, in
as
general.
A single man, yeah.
Yeah, for guys, you know? I mean, they're like hungry for it all the time.
It's crazy.
It's true. I know. It's hard
crazy.
To live like that, you know?
That is insane.
I know. I know.
Because I don't like it, personally.
No.
It bothers me. Well, because it's like, oh, you know, unless you can righteously satisfy it or do it in a way that, you know, unless it's there, it's available, you're safe, it's comfortable, whatever. It's the right person, it's whatever. You know, all those factors for me, I mean, I have to have all these different factors in order to, like, have sex.
Right.
And then all of a sudden during this month, all this is, and I'm quickly going down my list, like, for the factors, and none of the factors are there. I'm like, shit, you know? And then yeah. I'm like, oh, like, you know, nails are scratching a chalkboard. And I can't imagine being like that every day.
Yeah. That's why some people have friends with benefits.
But there's always a cost to that.
I've never
kind of
experienced
stuff.
That, though.
You've never experienced that?
No. Never had, like, a booty call or anything like that.
Oh, really? That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good, you know?
Why is it good? It's not good.
You don't need to rack up mileage.
Yes, you
put
do.
Put it on your resume. That doesn't make you a man, Sam.
No, it doesn't make you a man, but it makes you feel good because you need change. You know, you need variety as a man. You know?
The human condition is not perfect. So everything
no,
you
of course not.
Everything you desire and want is not necessarily good for you.
Yeah, so you have to fight it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. yeah. So basically, that's what this last week has been for me. I've been like, and I'm like, I was thinking about men, you know, and how they must have that feeling,
right?
You know, all the time.
All the time.
Is that true?
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
I wonder though.
But
wonder
that's by nature, you know. I mean, nature has made us this way, so we'll reproduce, you know. And now we have to deal with the fact that. You know, we have cultural limits and social standards that we can't violate, you know. So, but it's still there. It's still there very much so.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Because I was on that date the other night.
Uh-huh.
And I can't believe I told
you. Wait, you never said you were on a date.
Well, it wasn't really it was like I went to go hang out, but it was kind of a date. Mm-hmm. It was one of those, like, I wasn't sure what it was.
Okay.
But he was really cool guy.
Yeah.
Anyway, but the whole thinking, because I'm in that zone,
yeah.
I felt kind of like a man in the sense of, like, it's very, very, very basic. Like, you sit down, boom, and you're sitting next to the opposite sex, boom. And you're like, you're trying to hide the fact that inside you got this, and they're sitting there, and it's kind of like Twilight, the Twilight series, you know, like he wants to, like he's like so, he's so attracted to her scent, and he's like, you know, she's basically his kryptonite, but he's trying not to eat her the whole time,
right.
And he falls in love with her, but he's like, you know, he wants to devour her.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of like that feeling.
I see.
When you're near a guy during that time.
Mm. Well, that's good to know.
Like, you try to cover it up. You're trying to, like, he doesn't know that I feel this way. That's just fine.
Yeah.
Which is good. You can, like, cover it up. But
yeah.
I can't imagine every day going through that.
No, huh?
That's hell. It's kind of torturous.
Yeah, it is. It is. And especially for teenage kids or boys or guys, whatever, because, you know, at a certain age, you can't get it. You know, you just can't get it. It's not easy. So, you know, girls don't put out or whatever. And it's very frustrating. It can be very, very frustrating.
Such a hard life, huh?
It is. It is a hard life, I'm telling you. But, you know, you have to live with it. What can you say, you know? I mean, for women, there's a lot of things that are harder than being a man. So,
that's true.
You know?
Yeah, so. No, I'm not empathizing that much with you guys. I'm not like...
No, huh?
No. But okay. I think that there are things you can do to counteract it a bit, you know? I think that there's probably steps if you took to, you know, kind of... quarantine it a bit, or like kind of, you know, soften it a bit.
How do you do that?
I don't know. I'm not a man, but I would assume that you could, like, if you're trying to, if you're constantly kind of, you know, in a state of agony, well, then don't go places, see things, or do things that are going to stimulate it more if you can't finish it.
Yeah, but you're around people all the time. You're around women.
Yeah,
all the
time. I'm saying like if you're a guy that's just, you know, I mean, if you're constantly looking at porn, it's not helping you.
But no, we're not talking about that.
No, I'm saying like if you're a guy that's constantly in an aroused state, mm-hmm. and you can't righteously satisfy it, or you can't, right. you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can't, you know, finish the situation. Mm-hmm. Then you're not in a happy place.
Right.
So then. Some of that's going to be biological that you can't control, but some of it, if you don't stimulate, you know, like arouse yourself, like just mm-hmm. through thinking and thoughts and visual stimulus,
yeah,
it
but
could
you're
probably
assuming
help.
It's, you know, that it's conscious, but often it's not conscious.
Well, I think there's two sides. I'm talking about there's things, not, it's not like a totality. It's not like, oh, this is the answer, you know.
Okay. All right, everyone. Thank you all for joining us. We apologize that we got double flaked out this morning. But hopefully tomorrow the people will be here, and we'll see you all tomorrow.
You have been listening to Sam and Kara in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time and originates from the Los Angeles Talk Radio studios. For questions regarding the show or to learn more about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all correspondents to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Kara in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.